Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you feed us with the bread of life. We thank you for the many blessings that come from your table. Help us now to hear and understand your word and apply it in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? Well, we've certainly all been on some journey over recent years. Not only the whole country and world, but we as Christians within that world are also being grown and challenged and stretched and taught. A worldwide pandemic, crazy ongoing wars and civil wars, seemingly ever-increasing natural disasters, growing selfishness and a kind of anger at everything and everyone in society. The readiness and even the need to be able to point the finger of blame at someone else. It often seems that as God's people, the Lord is shaking us and sorting us, sifting and refining us. He seems to be presenting us with challenge after challenge to work out how we're going to live out our faith in him in the midst of a rapidly changing world and changing times. We have to keep making all sorts of new and unexpected choices in life, in addition to the normal, everyday sorts of choices. We all have to make many, many choices every day, ranging from the trivial to the major, and especially so, I think, in recent times. But I wonder if you ever stop to take the time to ponder what it is that motivates the choices that you make. I guess there will be a whole range of complex motivating factors. But by and large, what is it that determines the kinds of choices you make? Is it fear? Is it compassion? Is it simply routine and habit? Is it some preconceived idea or some sort of predetermined plan moving towards a particular goal? Often I think we do make our choices out of routine or habit or some sort of predetermined plan. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that, so long as they don't become so fixed, so set, that we can't make choices that break out of that mould occasionally as the need arises. In recent times, and especially through the peak of the pandemic, we've all been forced to make new and different choices. But those who seemed to cope best during that time were those who were reasonably flexible and adaptable in the first place. My father used to be a great one for habit and routine. He liked his meals at a set time each day. When we would come to visit with our kids, we'd be told, dinner will be at 6. If you're not there at 6, yours will be in the oven. And that would be right. If we were there at 6:15, our meals would be in the oven. He liked to do things the way he was used to doing things. When he and Mum retired and travelled around the country caravanning, he even liked to pack up and leave at a particular time each morning. Now, consistency can be a very useful thing. It can lead a person to being faithful and trustworthy. But it has also been said that inflexibility can be the vice of small minds. If we get so set in our ways that we can't make different choices, even when we clearly need to, then consistency has overridden all other considerations. Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus had to make a choice. And it would turn out to be a choice that would break out of a number of patterns and routines and predetermined plans that he'd had. But it was a choice where the needs of the moment were judged more important than plans and patterns. Where Jesus decided that the need for consistency was not going to limit his exercise of compassion. Jesus Christ is Lord of the whole universe, and through faith in him, peoples of all the nations of the world have been granted access into the kingdom of God. The promises to Abraham of blessings to all nations have found their answer in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the end of most of the Gospels, and certainly at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which is the one that we're considering this morning, the mission that Jesus gives his followers is to take the good news of the Gospel into all the world. Nevertheless, apart from a few exceptions, the focus of Jesus during his earthly ministry was on the people of the Jews, whom he calls the lost sheep of the kingdom of Israel. On a number of occasions, he says that that is who he came to, that is why he came, that is who he must address, and that is who he must reach out to. He came as the Jewish Messiah, proclaiming the long-promised establishment of God's kingdom for God's people, even though his own people often rejected him. His own predetermined course of action was to preach the kingdom to the Jews, and by and large, the choices that he made fitted in with that plan. Certainly, he often fell foul of the Jewish authorities, because his choices didn't always fit their narrow views of what was consistent with good Jewish behaviour. But generally, he was consistent with his plans to focus on the people of Israel. Early on in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus calls his disciples and sends them out to join him in this mission. And significantly, he tells them not to go by way of the Gentiles, but to go instead to the lost sheep of the kingdom of Israel. At the end of the Gospel, after he'd died and been raised from the dead for the whole world, Jesus called his disciples to go into all the world and to make disciples of all the nations. And here, kind of midway between, we find Jesus making choices based on his predetermined course of action, but also flexible in the light of the needs of the moment, in light of the opportunity to teach something, and in light of his compassion for the real pain of real people. Jesus had withdrawn from Judea and from the crowds and from opposition from the Jewish authorities. In particular, these authorities had been challenging him on matters of what they saw as issues of purity and impurity, not strictly abiding by their rules and regulations. There's a whole block of teaching where Jesus challenges them to think about what it is that really defiles something. Is it what goes into the mouth, or is it what comes out of the heart? Presumably, as often before, he'd needed a rest from all of that and a chance to have a bit of a break and a refresh, and just to be alone with his disciples. But instead, along comes a Canaanite woman, a native of the region around Tyre and Sidon where he'd gone, but given the old style of name of Canaanite to emphasise that he was a pagan woman, not one of the people of God, definitely would have been seen by the Jewish authorities as unclean. And yet, she's in need. Her daughter is desperately ill. And so she comes to Jesus to seek help from the one whom she acknowledges is able to give that help. And what does Jesus do? Well, first of all, he ignores her. And then he just seems to insult her. What's going on in this strange little incident? Jesus points out to the woman in no uncertain terms that his present mission is focused on the Jews and no wider, though he does go on to make a different choice based on his compassion for her need. But as the events unfold, he also achieves a number of other things as well, all part of the choices that he makes at this particular time. Just before they'd withdrawn, Jesus and his disciples were under attack from the Jewish authorities over the whole issue of purity and impurity, purity and defilement, and the Jewish purity laws. The arrival of this unclean foreign woman would afford Jesus just the right opportunity to drive home some of the points that he'd been making to his followers. So he deliberately doesn't answer the woman at first. Let's see what the disciples make of this situation. Let's see what they make of this tiresome foreigner, given what they'd so recently heard about what makes one clean or unclean. And the disciples don't do so well. "Send her away. She's only a Gentile and she's a nuisance. She's bothering us." Well, then Jesus tries to draw out from her a deeper level of her understanding and her faith. She'd already called him Lord and Son of David, so perhaps, unlike those who should have seen, she was ready to think that this might actually be the Jewish Messiah. Could there be some part in it for her, a Gentile woman? And ignoring the disciples' response, she throws herself on his mercy. "Lord, help me." But Jesus has a program. It was to the Jews that he was focused, not to heathen dogs. The term strikes us as being very harsh. His seeming insult of the woman is not quite as bad as it might seem at first. The common term of contempt that the Jews used for Gentiles was certainly dogs. They used to refer to anyone who wasn't a Jew as a dog. But that's not quite the term that Jesus uses here. Once again, while drawing forth her faith and using the terms that the disciples might have been fairly familiar with, he's probably still trying to teach her and the disciples something about compassion. The particular word he uses is not quite the same as the Jews generally would have used for a Gentile dog. It's actually quite an affectionate one. Perhaps it means something more like little puppies. Perhaps it's still quite a put-down of her. He was wanting to test the level of her persistent faith in him and her submission to him. But it's possibly a little kinder than the usual reference that the Jews might have used. Here he was, testing her faith, but still holding out to her the offer of a compassionate stepping aside from his stated mission to the Jews. Well, without batting an eyelid, and with perseverance and a quick wit, the woman still clings to her hope for mercy from the Lord. She says, "Even the dogs, even the little puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Yes, Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. And yes, salvation must ultimately come from the Jewish line. But surely there must be something in it for us poor Gentiles too. And Jesus is impressed with such faith. He makes a choice to step aside from his course for a moment and bring a foretaste of the blessings that would ultimately flow to all people. He's prepared to be flexible enough to reach out beyond his previously chosen course when human need and his compassionate response dictate. And as he does so, he not only heals the little girl, but he opens his disciples' eyes to the wider possibilities, and he meets the strengthened faith of a Gentile woman with the blessings of the kingdom of God. Can I suggest that we need to be prepared to make our choices motivated mostly by compassion for others and a desire to see the ever-widening presence of the kingdom of God through the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen.